I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Matt Barzell for Kuhnhackl. Behind Anders Lee, has to play it off the wall. Barzell to the front. Kuhnhackl scores! Barzell to Kuhnhackl, and the Islanders lead again.
Islanders country, hello. This is PT Isles, the Isles Lang Syne edition. I'm Isles Vlog's Joe Bono. A reminder, you can subscribe to this show and every Lighthouse Hockey podcast on iTunes. Please rate and review, or find us on Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, or over at lighthousehockey.com. Lighthouse Hockey, your SB Nation home for your New York Islanders coverage. Coming up, Matt Barzell is an all-star again and still could be joined by a couple teammates. And we finally reveal the top five playoff and regular season games of the decade as voted on by you, Islanders country. Thank you so much to everyone that took a few minutes to rank the games. This way, I am not responsible if you disagree with the results. But first, the Islanders follow up their 3-1 win in Minnesota with a 4-3 New Year's Eve matinee victory over the NHL's top team, the Washington Capitals in D.C. And unlike the game in Minnesota, the Islanders made their fair share of mistakes in this game, some defensive breakdowns, unforced errors, but luckily so did the Capitals. Uncharacteristic for two teams that, you know, are built on Barry Trotz's defensive structure and system. The Isles led 2-0 in the first period on goals from Casey Cizikas on a brilliant deflection. And then Brock Nelson followed that up by netting his 14th of the year. And you were feeling real good as an Islanders fan. You know, they have that 3-goal third period in Minnesota. They followed it up with 2 early ones here in D.C. But then the Capitals would score just 14 seconds later. Kuznetsov was left all alone in front. A complete defensive breakdown. Had tons of time to make a couple of moves and slide one pass Varlamov. And then not too long after that, Tom Wilson ties the game off a beautiful pass by Nicholas Backstrom, a play where, you know, if you freeze the frame, all five Islanders were caught watching Backstrom end the puck, and they let Wilson skate in all alone on the doorstep and tap it in to beat Varlamov and tie the game at 2. Things then got worse. The Capitals then took the lead in the second period, but then it was Casey Cizikas answering back for the Islanders with his second goal of the game. He now has 8 on the season, saying, you know what, don't count me out for 20 just yet. And then it was another bottom six type forward, but playing on the top line. Tom Kuhnhackl playing with Anders Lee and Matt Barzell, giving the Islanders the lead. He now has goals in back-to-back games for top line Tommy. After that, it was the Semyon Varlamov show. And as I joked on Twitter, the Islanders' strategy appeared to be to simply hold on for dear life. And that's what they did. Varlamov with 18 third-period saves. The shots attempted in the third were 36-10 Washington. And then after Scott Mayfield took a tripping penalty, the Islanders had to hold on, playing down 6-on-4 with the extra man on the ice for the final 60 seconds. And they gave it everything they got, blocked some shots for Varlamov with some key saves yet again, had some key saves on an earlier Capitals power play. There were multiple times across the third period where the Islanders just could not get the puck out of the zone. And Varlamov, although he gave up 3 goals, you know, maybe his best overall performance from the second period on for the Islanders so far this season. You know what? Throughout the year, you're going to win games where you're outplayed and then lose some games where you were the better team. And in recent weeks, we've seen the Islanders lose games to the Anaheim Ducks and the Columbus Blue Jackets at home. You know, two games where they controlled the play for most of the game and yet, you know, could not win. They couldn't pick up that second point in the shootout against Anaheim. In the Columbus game, they had some chances, were unable to kind of extend the lead, and then Columbus is able to capitalize on their very few chances and grab a late third period lead and hold on for that 3-2 victory. You know, but here they're able to go into D.C. and take 2 points from the Capitals, who have now lost 2 games in a row for the first time all season. They still sit at the top of the Metro, of course, with 59 points, but the Islanders now, after these back-to-back wins, close out 2019 with 53 points, 6 points behind the Washington Capitals. After the game, Barry Trotz talked about how his team was able to find a way to win in D.C.
We didn't give them much in the first two periods, but they're a team that if you make a mistake, they can capitalize. And, we gave them a couple chances, they capitalized, and then we were able to capitalize on some of their mistakes. We don't score as easily as they do. I thought we had a few more chances early, and then later on in the game they had a pretty good push, and then obviously with the penalty and the goalie pulled, that was huge. And it's just commitment. Guys just doing the right thing, and we're bending and not breaking.
So probably some things he liked, some things he didn't like for Barry Trotz in this game, but of course he loved the fact that this team, despite all the pressure that Washington had, did not give up that game-tying goal. You know, the fact that the pressure's on there, they have the extra attacker on, then it becomes a 6-on-4 type situation with all the firepower that Washington has in their building. A game that Islander fans have seen time and time again with other teams scoring goals late in the third period to tie games and steal points. The Islanders did not allow that to happen this afternoon, and we're able to go into the new year with the 2 points. Casey Cizikas, as we mentioned, 2 goals on the day. He shared a very similar sentiment as the Islanders coach.
It's a hell of a hockey team over there. In the third period, they really brought it. I just said to Kinger, we bent, but we didn't break. And that was kind of the biggest thing. And then when we needed big saves of Arlie Stone, I said he played outstanding tonight. And, I think he was, our MVP.
And the reason they bent but did not break was Semyon Varlamov. Here was the Islanders' netminder, the former Capital, after the win.
Play against Washington at some point, they're going to create scoring chances. It's a good offensive team, like very dangerous, So you cannot protect like the middle all the time. I mean, they're gonna make some plays. But we scored 4 goals. That was great, I think. It was an easy one today, but we battled through, especially like in the third period. Like I gotta give this team credit, even if we give up like a lot of shots, but still like we were battling till the end.
Fend that off at the end like you guys did, and they really brought it to as a team in the third period. How good does that feel?
It's great. It's a great feeling. I don't remember when I was building last time, to be honest with you. It was a long time ago, I think in 2014 or something. So huge win for me, big win for the team. So all very happy, for New Year's Eve. That was a good gift.
So the Islanders and their fans get to enjoy their New Year's Eve a little bit more. The champagne will taste a little bit sweeter before taking a day off tomorrow and then back on the ice on Thursday to battle the New Jersey Devils for the first time this year. And with this performance, Varlamov may have put him in prime position to be named to the Metro All-Star team. Korpisalo, the goaltender for the Columbus Blue Jackets, of course, now has a torn meniscus. He drops out of the All-Star game, and Varlamov, of course, was a top candidate before this game. You would think maybe this type of performance maybe makes him the favor to take over that spot and join Matt Barzal, who was named to his second consecutive team, and we get to watch Barzy play 3-on-3 hockey for an extended period of time, which will be a lot of fun for Islander fans and the rest of the NHL. And Brock Nelson, while not named an All-Star, he's on the last men in ballot and has the opportunity to get voted into the All-Star game. Voting starts January 1. So, you know what? Islander country, not the largest fan base, but as we know, some of the most passionate fans. So we have our work cut out for us if we want to get Brock Nelson into the All-Star game. And I think it would be only fitting that a couple of years after Josh Bailey makes his first All-Star game, the much maligned Brock Nelson also becomes an NHL All-Star. When we get back, we reveal the top 5 playoff and regular season games of the decade. You're listening to PT Isles, part of the Lighthouse Hockey Podcast Network.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We're back. Happy New Year. PT Isles, Joe Bono with you. And now it's time to reveal the top five regular season and postseason games for the Islanders in the last decade. And we felt like we needed to split these out between regular season and postseason games. That way, you know, we give the regular season its due. It's hard to kind of have the same weight, certainly, that playoff games have. And the way we did this is I sent out surveys via social media to the fans and the listeners and to the followers and asked them to rank the games from one to the end of the list. And then the system did the calculations based on weighted positioning. And that's how I got the rankings for the top five regular season games and the top five playoff games. So we're going to start off with the regular season game. But before we give you the top five, let's talk about the ones that did not make the list. All right. So these are the ones that did not reach the top five. Coming in last place was the Marathon Shootout win in Anaheim. Remember, this was the game where it ended up where you had Thomas Hickey scoring a goal that got disputed, had to get reviewed. It ended up counting. And then Nick Leddy ended up winning the shootout game for the Islanders. On the West Coast, I don't know how many Islander fans are still up to see that one, but that certainly was a very strange win in December of 2016. You had the Josh Bailey Thanksgiving Eve overtime winner against the Philadelphia Flyers on November 22nd, 2017. This play isn't really about Josh Bailey, it was about John Tavares. Remember the play on the sideboards going back and forth before finally shaking the defender, passing it to Bailey. His first shot was blocked and then able to put it home for the goal. And then next we had another Thanksgiving Eve game. This November 26, 2014, John Tavares against the Washington Capitals. This was kind of where the Islanders started to say, hey, this season may be a little bit different than previous years. Islanders wearing their Stadium Series jerseys and Tavares with the game winner on his knees with his hands up in the air. A bit of an iconic image from that era in Islanders hockey. We had Kyle Okposo's scoring the four goals against the Penguins on January 16, 2015. This game I thought was going to do much, much better. This is what I called the major comeback versus the Red Wings. The Islanders score four times in the third period on the five-minute major, take the lead, then blow the lead in the final minute only to win on the Brock Nelson goal on John Ledecky's birthday on February 9th of 2018. Could have meant a lot more if the Islanders ended up steamrolling their way towards the playoffs, but we all know how that season kind of ended. But still, that was one of the craziest games I had ever watched. That was one of those games where I put the game on kind of on the side on the laptop, streaming it, and was watching something else with my wife. And then they scored one goal, they scored two goals. I was like, can we stop this and put the game back on? And then obviously stayed with it until the end. The next game did pretty well. I was surprised. This one was a little bit personal to me because I was in the building that night. The Islanders stunning the Tampa Bay Lightning with two goals in 12 seconds on December 20th of 2014. You guys might remember that. They were down 1-0 to a rookie goaltender for the Tampa Bay Lightning who ended up being pretty damn good. He was playing tremendous hockey that night. Now they scored two goals in 12 seconds for the 2-1 win. The Stadium Series game against the Rangers, January 28th, 2014, a game the Islanders lost 2-1, but certainly memorable to be at Yankee Stadium that night, freezing my extremities off and staying inside the men's bathroom in between periods, going to the bathroom and then people just not leaving the bathroom. That's how cold it was in the Bronx that night. The two late goals against Winnipeg last season, the Islanders coming back and scoring two goals in the final 2 minutes to win that game in regulation against the Winnipeg Jets in a game that they trailed most of that night. Jordan Eberle, of course, with the game-winning goal. And then the seven goals third period against the Canucks in March of 2014. them beating the Wild after trailing by 3 goals. The first time they did that in 20 years back on December 30th, 2013. And so those were all the ones that were not in the top five. Okay, so I went through a bunch there, about eight games that did not make the top five. And now we will start the top five regular season games of the decade. And the first one is January 13, 2018, Matt Barzell's 5-point game at Madison Square Garden.
Number five.
Barzell moves it on for Eberle. Eberle across into the slot. Beauvillier scores!
Barzell fends off the defender, and now he's going to move it over to Jordan Eberle and drive through. That's perfect play by a centerman.
Nice play by Eberle to send Barzell. Beauvillier and Letty are with him. Barzell to the back. Can he shoot? He scores!
Barzell with the great speed. Waits. And then he just got the poise, the confidence of a 10-year vet. Goes to his backhand, and he just hoists it up into the toy department.
They were just 1-6-2 after the Islanders beat him back in October. Beauvillier and Barzell. Barzell! And he scores!
So that would be one of 2 5-point games for Matt Barzell in his Calder Trophy winning season. And a couple other things of note from that game. You know, this was the Islanders' first game coming out of the break, out of their bye week break, looking for kind of a reboot to their season after really a terrible December. This was also a game where Michael Dalcol made his NHL debut, remember? Played about 13 minutes with Doug Waite behind the bench. And then all Anthony Beauvillier, he scored 2 goals in that game. Remember, this was after he was sent down to Bridgeport and then kind of came back and then got very hot right away. He played that, I think, about 3 games in Bridgeport during the bye week, came back and just kept on scoring for the Islanders in a 7-2 win. Game number 4, April 5th, 2016, Thomas Hickey's overtime goal sends the Islanders to the playoffs.
Number 4.
Here comes Tavares, down the right wing. He pulls up, slides one on goal, save made, rebound Hickey, he scores! He scores! And that locks up a playoff spot for the New York Islanders. Thomas Hickey beats Holtby up high on a rebound.
So Thomas Hickey, who certainly had a knack for scoring overtime goals as a New York Islander, we'll see whether or not we hear from him on the top five playoff games of the decade. That goal set up on a beautiful pass by John Tavares, 2:13 into overtime. But if you remember, the really interesting quirk about this game was who was in net for the Islanders. It was Christopher Gibson making his first NHL start that was in net the night the Islanders clinched their playoff berth. He made a number of key saves in overtime. Quite remarkable for the Islanders to clinch their wild card berth. And of course, you remember as that season was going on, you did not want to end up being in that third place spot and end up facing the Pittsburgh Penguins like the Rangers did. You wanted to be in that wild card position in the 7th spot to face the Florida Panthers. But first, you needed to make the playoffs, and that's what the Islanders did on that Thomas Hickey goal in D.C. Our next game, February 28th, 2019, We Don't Need You.
Number 3.
Now the crowd will have its opportunity to show their appreciation, disdain, or some combination of the two for their former captain John Tavares in his first game back here on Long Island. In 2018 will always be known as the John Tavares era here on the island. He was the best player on the team most nights. Perhaps now some closure for one or both parties, but perhaps the distance grows between them. Islanders fans can remember more of what he did and who he was and less about how he left.
Exactly right. As time goes on, they'll be able to think back to how important John Tavares was to the franchise right now. It's still burning in their hearts that Tavares made a decision, and it wasn't the one the fans wanted.
Sloppy play there allows Clutterbuck on it. Then Cizikas strips it away. Cizikas in! Scores! Short-handed Cizikas. 3-1. John Tavares makes his return to Long Island. And it's a 6-1 win for the Islanders. And a game that no one in this building will forget.
And you know what, Brendan? Nobody left early. I mean, this game was pretty much over by about 5 minutes into the third period. There was little chance for the Maple Leafs, and nobody left. They're all standing. They're saluting the Islanders, and well, they should. A really strong performance all the way across the board.
So I thought this might actually have been number one when I put this out. Ends up being number three. I was in the building that night, and you didn't know exactly what to expect, but you knew it was going to be a different type of atmosphere, and unlike any hockey game that you maybe have ever attended at the Nassau Coliseum or any Islander game, because it was just such a unique situation for the face of the franchise, really the savior of the franchise in so many ways, the captain of the team, to go to Toronto the way he did do it. There was such venom, obviously, for him in that building that night. And, there was a bit of conflict, I think, amongst Islander fans going into it, because you do appreciate and understand what he meant to the franchise for the 9 years that John Tavares was on Long Island. But at the same time, it felt very, very personal when he left for Toronto. It was pretty much saying, I don't think I can win here. After feeling like for so many years, he felt it was his obligation and duty and purpose to lead this team as far as he possibly could. And just when you felt like things were getting turned around with Lou Lamoriello and Barry Trotz in place, he decides to go to his hometown team in the Toronto Maple Leafs. Islanders win that game 6-1. It was a raucous crowd. And because of the way the game went, it allowed Islander fans to get very creative throughout the night. And I think when you look back on that game, some things that you will always remember are the chants. Certainly, we don't need you. That's our captain after the Anders Lee goal. Please don't trade me, echoing the rumor that Tavares had went to ownership saying he did not want to be traded. Barzy's better. Past your bedtime, get your jammies. You can't beat us. You may recall that the Islanders blitzed the Maple Leafs earlier in the season. That's when Matt Barzal had the natural hat trick earlier the year up in Toronto. Who's your daddy? You're a liar. And even the chicken dance played by organist Paul Cartier, the Islanders improvised the words there. Islander fans improvised the words there to include John Tavares. And then, of course, the playing of his tribute video and I think on the MSG broadcast, they took the audio feed from the video. But obviously, if you were there, you knew that it was booze pretty much the entire time. Tavares kind of skates out a little bit, does a couple claps, raises his stick. Both teams kind of salute him. Very odd and strange feeling. I know he's been back to the Coliseum already another time last year, again this year. And it's never going to be quite like it was on February 28th, 2019. Next up, another game at the refurbished Coliseum, December 1st, 2018. The Islanders come home.
Number two.
1255 Hempstead Turnpike, Nassau Coliseum, Fort Neverloos, the old barn. It's been called many things over the last 46 years, but one thing every Islander fan calls it is home. Home's a simple concept, but it's become overly complicated for the New York Islanders over the past four seasons. This place may look slightly different, but it is as it should be. And once again, it is full of fans and full of memories. The Columbus Blue Jackets were here on April 11, 2015, when the last regular season game was played. Ryan Pulock skates it through the circle, still with it. Bottom of the circle, Pulock behind the net. Pulock in front for Suzuki. Suzuki scores! Casey Suzuki gives the Islanders their first lead in their return to the Coliseum. It is 3-2 New York. The Islanders come back to the island and kick it off with a win.
Listen to these fans, Brendan. They are applauding their New York Islanders.
How much fun is this? The first of 21 games scheduled here this season at Nassau Coliseum. And the Islanders come from down 2-0, score the final three goals of the game, and beat the Blue Jackets 3-2 in front of a capacity crowd.
So the Islanders being back at the Coliseum comes in at number two, a 3-2 win. Good thing they won that game after being down 2-0 early. I was not at that game in early December, but I think what it was all about was, you were told that the Islanders were never coming back to Long Island a few years earlier, that they would be playing in Brooklyn, there was going to be an ironclad 25-year lease, and that, this would no longer be Long Island's team and Long Island's team alone. and yet here they were back on Long Island and back in the same building. And certainly I think the previous year when the Islanders played that preseason game at the Coliseum, you felt like the door was opening towards this. And then, of course, the next year they make the announcement that first 20 and then 21 games, and then this year 21 games, then moved up to 28 games, will be played at the Coliseum, and we'll see whether or not all 41 home games get played at the Coliseum next year, and they stop playing at Barclays Center altogether now that we know that Belmont is getting built. You know, I was there at the last regular season game at the Nassau Coliseum, that game they lost to the Columbus Blue Jackets in a shootout that cost them home ice advantage in 2015. I was at the playoff games. I was at game 6 against the Capitals. So, you know, like I said, I think a lot of Islander fans emotionally had gone through the idea that they were never going to play and see their team in that building again. So very, very special and surreal to have them back where they belong at the Coliseum. And the number one regular season game, maybe I shouldn't be too surprised. February 11th, 2011, Brawl Night.
Number one.
Oh, look at this, look at this. Oh, he's going Johnson after the goalie. Oh, he wants him. Look at, they're not going to let him get to him.
Now it's way out of control, and Johnson's in his second fight in a week, and Haley is trying to do to him what Johnson did to Rick DiPietro. I think Talbot's in there also.
Look, they're motioning at the benches because they're worried because it's an un... Boy, this is crazy now. You're right, Haley came all the way down, and he was looking for Johnson.
Eric Goddard, I believe, came off the bench to get into it.
Haley's going to become a fan favorite in one big hurry.
Oh, he's
look
there.
Look at Orpik. He's looking for him. And listen to these fans. They are going bananas.
After the Johnson DiPietro fight last week, you could see it. The Penguins were pretty much laughing at the Islanders on the Pittsburgh bench. And, you know, that caught the attention of the Islanders and was going to be part of the buildup to tonight's game. And if any of this was predictable, I think it's gone even beyond what we thought it might have become. Because a lot of times when you expect something like this and you get it, it basically happens in the first period and then things settle down. But this has been going on all night.
Well, this has been brewing, and we talked a little bit about it earlier on, Howie, that, you know, it's not just the game against Pittsburgh. It's a lack of respect that the players on the New York Islander team feels like they haven't been getting. You know, calling them up doormats and running at them. Pittsburgh's been running at them. Toronto the other day was running at them. Ottawa's been running at them. So this just all came to a head. This all overflowed today just because it happened to be the right opponent at the right time. And they were ready. They had this game on their mind. They had it in the dressing room. I said before, there was a buzz in the dressing room, and they were on high alert.
So after a decade, it is a brawl against the Pittsburgh Penguins that claims the top spot amongst the fans. 351 penalty minutes in that game. Three Islanders actually scored their 20th goal of the season in that game. 188 penalty minutes assigned to the Islanders. That broke a club record. And the 351 combined penalty minutes broke marks of 233 combined and 108 to the Islanders in an October 14th, 1982 game between the same two teams, the Penguins and the Islanders. Three separate Islanders were hit with over 30 penalty minutes. Haley had 39, Gillies 34, and Matt Martin 32. Haley's 39 penalty minute was the highest total by any player in an NHL game since Jody Shelley had 41 minutes for the San Jose Sharks back in 2008. This is a game I feel like on every February 11th, someone tweets out the video of the Islanders Penguins brawl, and you know, in that clip you hear what this was about for Islander fans, is that this franchise was looked at as a doormat, as a pushover based on their record, their talent, the building, the ownership, all of those factors. And it just was wearing and wearing and wearing, I think, on the players themselves. And, of course, you had situations where, you know, Rick DiPietro gets kind of, you know, knocked down and hurts himself the previous week against the Penguins. And then you have the situation happen. And that's how Howie Rose said on the broadcast, this wasn't something that, you know, it happened in the first period and it was over. You know, everyone kind of said their piece and went their own way. This just kept going and going and going. You know, probably a couple of the more iconic images. One, of course, is Haley skating towards the Penguins goaltender, Brett Johnson. And then, of course, Trevor Gillies being pushed out by the referees to leave the ice, but then staying right there, looking down on the Penguin player in between the glass. So a wild, wild night at the Coliseum. Islanders with the 8-3 victory over the Penguins at your number one regular season game of the decade, as voted on by you, Islanders Country. We'll take one more quick break. When we come back, the top five playoff games of the decade. You're listening to PT Isles.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right, we're back. Happy New Year. Thanks so much for being with us. And now we're going to reveal the top five playoff games of the decade. And we'll start out with the ones that did not make the top five. Game one against the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Islanders riding high after beating the Florida Panthers. Steal game one in Tampa. You start thinking about Eastern Conference Finals. Next thing you know, they lose back-to-back games in overtime at home and get blitzed in game five, and the season comes to an abrupt end. Game two at Pittsburgh, when the Islanders, after getting really beat up in game one against, you know, the Penguins were so good that season in that shortened 2013 year. Islanders really, people didn't think had any chance, but you never know in hockey. And then game two, they kind of stunned them on the road and get back to the Coliseum for game three with a chance to make some noise. Game three versus the Florida Panthers in 2016. This was the Thomas Hickey overtime winner off the Brock Nelson feed and the little Super Mario celebration by Hickey that did not make the top five. Game four versus Pittsburgh, the Islanders tying the series at home. So this is after they lose the game three in overtime. They win 6-4, really get into Marc-Andre Fleury's head in that game. They tie the series up 2-2 to go back to Pittsburgh. And then the other one that did not make the cut was the final, what was supposed to be the final home game at the Coliseum, game six versus the Washington Capitals. This was a wild game, 1-1 third period. You know, Tavares gets hit and then is able to get the puck over to Letty's able to get the puck over to Kuhlman, who puts the puck in past Holpe in the third period, 2-1. Cal Clutterbuck with the empty net goal. Islanders win 3-1, force a game seven. And you know what? Leaving that game, did not know whether or not you'd ever be back in the Coliseum. And, you know, Islanders end up losing game seven, so you don't think you're ever going to be back in the Coliseum. But as we talked about before, they would be back playing playoff games there just a few years later. All right, so let's kick things off. The top five playoff games of the decade. Game three, Stanley Cup playoffs against the Washington Capitals, April 19th, 2015.
Number five.
That one grabbed and pitched aside by Holtby. Carlson off Ward, kept alive. Letty a shot, all directed on goal. Score! Bedlam, 2-1 Islanders.
Well, off the opening faceoff, the Islanders are able to control it. Johnny Boychuk lets it go. Hope he doesn't hold on to it. He moves it to Carlson. Turnover. It's kept in by Letty. The redirect. Great save from Holtby. And then from really a nasty angle, John Tavares beats Braden Holtby. But Holtby was off just a little bit, and it finds its way in behind the right side of Holtby and the post. That first save was outstanding, but John Tavares gets inside position on John Carlson, and from a nasty angle, he wins it in overtime.
Doc Emrick on the call for a rare Islanders game there. Afternoon game three at the Collie. Islanders got a 1-0 lead in that game. Kalaposo had a puck kind of go off his shin. That beat Holtby. The Nicholas Backstrom had tied that game in the third period, late in the third period. And they go into overtime, and what I remember is that everyone, like you do at the Coliseum, runs out to the bathroom. And they actually had porta potties outside the Coliseum with like a tent over it that you could either wait online inside the corridor or go outside and go to the bathroom in the porta potties and try to run on back. And I got back to my seat maybe with 2 minutes to go before the intermission ended. And of course, it was only 15 seconds right off the opening faceoff that John Tavares wins the game for the Islanders. And I am sure there are a lot of people, guys and girls, that missed that because they were still on a bathroom line. If you're on a food line, I kind of blame you. But if you're on a bathroom line, that's just bad luck. nothing else I could say. And at that point, you thought the Islanders had, you know, gained some control in the series. You may remember they won game one of that series, and then game two, Holtby did not play. Grubauer had to play in the backup at the time. Obviously, he had a big year the following season for Washington, or a couple years later for the Capitals. Islanders had a couple leads in that game, could not hold on. Washington ended up taking the lead in the third period, but the Islanders, you know, kind of reclaimed momentum there. This would go, of course, to game four, and then they would lose game four in overtime. So had a real chance to go up 3-1 in that series, but just could not do it, end up losing the series. Next up, game five, 2006 Stanley Cup playoffs, Islanders, Florida Panthers, April 22nd, 2016.
Number four.
Jedlicki at the point. Hickey back, Jedlicki across, and a score! Alan Klein with his first Stanley Cup playoff goal, and it's an overtime winner for the Islanders. A power play goal, and Alan Klein has ended the marathon at the 16-minute mark of double overtime.
Really good composure by the New York Islanders. They gain the zone. One chance by Luongo off the shot block. Big one by Jussi Jokinen. They keep it alive. Josh Bailey moves it out. Marin Zedlicki with some composure. Keep moving it around. Now Zedlicki going to pump it. And then Klein right in.
19 in Bridgeport this year. A late call-up. And now an overtime hero. And the Islanders take the series lead 3-2 and a pair of overtime wins.
Alan Klein, forever in Islanders lore, with a double overtime game five winner, power play goal, assist to Marek Zedlicki and Thomas Hickey to give the Islanders a 3-2 series win, sending the series back to Brooklyn with the Islanders with an opportunity to close it out. And, you know, also what you remember about this game was Islanders took a lead in the first period. Franz Nielsen had a goal. And then, you know, Thomas Greiss played a remarkable series, but this might have been his best overall game. Held them scoreless into the third period until Barkov scored a minute 59 into the third period to tie the game. And then it was Alexander Barkov again. Calvin Dahan got called for covering the puck in the crease. And Barkov, a penalty shot in overtime to potentially give the Panthers a 3-2 series lead, stopped by Greiss, and then the Islanders ultimately end up scoring the goal at 16 minutes into the second overtime session after Derek McKenzie took a slashing penalty, and he was in the box. Quinn able to score the overtime goal and give the Islanders a 3-2 series lead. Our next game, 2019 Stanley Cup playoffs, Islanders Penguins game four, April 16th, 2019.
Number three.
It's game four of this Eastern Conference opening round series. Will it be the last one as the New York Islanders try to sweep Sidney Crosby and the Pittsburgh Penguins? Sang again. One more time, the Islanders backing away. An odd man opportunity here for the Islanders. Two on one. They bring it in. And here is Eberle. Scores! Jordan Eberle continues his hot streak. Every game he's on the score sheet. And the Islanders one more time respond in this series. We are tied at one.
Bailey in front for Nelson. Shoots and scores! Brock Nelson has made it 2-1 Islanders with under 2 minutes to go in the first.
You know the fans on Long Island, they're standing up in front of their TVs yelling, "Let's go Islanders," as they do at Nassau Coliseum, which might not see another game because they can play round two in Brooklyn. They win the faceoff, clear it all the way down and in! And the Islanders look like they've done it! Josh Bailey sends it all the way down and scores the empty net goal. He scored the overtime winner in game one. He may have scored the sweeping goal for the Islanders.
3-2-1, the horn sounds, and oh, how sweep it is! The New York Islanders have their first sweep since the 83 Cup Final over the Oilers, and they are headed to round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs!
So the Islanders complete their first playoff sweep since sweeping the Edmonton Oilers in the 1983 Stanley Cup Finals, and, you know, the Islanders just overmatched the Penguins in this series and really were just led by Jordan Eberle, and they just kept on responding. Every time the Penguins would score a goal, it felt like the Islanders would respond and do it quickly. And this game was really all about that, because the Penguins, if you may recall, scored very early in this game. 35 seconds in, Jake Guentzel scored to make it 1-0. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, maybe tonight's not going to be our day. And we'll go back to the Coliseum for Game 5 and try to finish things up there. But, you know, a minute and a half later, Jordan Eberle scores. They get a goal at the end of the first period, Brock Nelson. Then Robin Leonard plays really well in the second and third periods. And then Josh Bailey, of course, the empty netter to secure the Islanders' victory and their first sweep since 1983. Next on the list, Game 1, 2019 Stanley Cup Playoffs, Islanders-Penguins, April 10th, 2019.
Number two.
Islanders clear it ahead. 2-on-1. Barzal and Eberle. Matt Barzal in. Waits. Backhand. He hit the post. They score! Josh Bailey! Game one to the Island. The Islanders win game one. Josh Bailey, his first career overtime winner in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
So Josh Bailey, the hero that night, after Matt Barzal hits the post, Bailey able to put it in, pass Murray, and give the Islanders a 1-0 series lead, winning at the Coliseum, the first time the Islanders had home ice in a playoffs in 30 years. This game got started in a hurry. You remember Tom Kuhnhackl had a goal that got waved off, but then Jordan Eberle scored right after that, gave the Islanders a 1-0 lead. This game was back and forth for a while. It was 2-2, and then 3-2 Islanders on a Nick Leddy goal. But then Justin Schultz, you may remember, scored with just a minute 29 left to play in the third to send the game into overtime. But then Josh Bailey able to win the game and send everyone home happy. And that's kind of where, you know, the Hey Josh Bailey song, you know, by the Blue and Orange Army, that's been going on for years and years. But I think after that overtime goal and people, you know, singing it throughout the post-game interview the way they did, it kind of just grew in momentum. And I think even people that might have been reluctant to sing it at Islander home games are now singing it now after that night at the Coliseum. All right, and our final game. Game 6, 2016 Stanley Cup Playoffs, Islanders-Panthers, April 24th, 2016.
Number 1.
Up comes Leddy in the final minute. Nick Leddy centers.
Back the other way, but sent in for Oposo with Tavares, feeds Tavares, quick shot save made by the pad of Luongo. Tavares scores! Tavares wins it on a backhander! It's over! It is all over for the first
the most fitting man to score the winner is John Tavares.
You know, it's almost hard looking back at those games during that series at that time because, you know, they won that series because of John Tavares and Thomas Greiss, but Tavares did everything that series. And there were so many playoff moments that we've just gone through in 2013, 2015, and 2016 where, you know, he was front and center. And no more so than this game. Islanders down 1-0, final minute of the third period. The only goal to this point was a Jonathan Huberdeau goal in the first period that beat Thomas Greiss. Roberto Luongo playing great hockey, trying to send the series back to Florida for a Game 7. And yes, Trocheck was tripped, but there was no call. Letty comes down, the rush, puck goes to the front of the net, and I've never seen a goal quite like this one where it just is sitting there. It's just sitting there behind Luongo. No Florida Panther sees it. No Islander sees it. Tavares, who had just come off the bench, he does. Just moves the puck out, puts it into the back of the net, and the game is tied 1-1, and we're going to overtime. I was sitting in section 215 of Barclays Center for that game, so I was right behind the net and saw it play out. Almost a perfect seat to see that happen. That goes to overtime. We go scoreless in the first overtime, and of course in the second overtime, you just heard the calls to Howie Rose call. You know, 23 years for the Islanders to advance to the Stanley Cup playoffs, and they do it on an all-time goal. I mean, the shot, and then to be able to wrap it around the way he did, getting his own rebound and putting it in before you could blink. It's an iconic Islanders goal. And I'm glad that the fans voted this number one because it's no reason why it should not have been. But again, it's going to be a while before you ever see these kind of played in, you know, montages. You know, like you can play the, you know, David Vollick goal from the 93 playoffs forever. These ones right now, it's still a little too sensitive, a little too raw to kind of play, you know, John Tavares goals, obviously, at Islander home games. But, you know, that meant so much for the franchise to finally get over that hump, 23 years in waiting to get to the second round. And for your franchise player, your cornerstone player to do it, remember the Rangers had gotten knocked out of the playoffs by the Penguins. So the Islanders were the only New York team playing. You felt like Tavares had finally arrived. There were articles being written about him being the top player in New York by Mike Vaccaro in the New York Post. And it's just incredible how where that moment was, and then 2 years later, you know, he's gone, and now, you know, these are more bittersweet moments than ones of, you know, euphoria, and they're still great memories, but, you know, there's just a little piece missing with the way you feel about it based on how the events have transpired in the years that followed. So that'll do it for this special New Year's Eve edition of PT Isles. Next up for the Islanders, they host the New Jersey Devils on Thursday night. And then, of course, Saturday night, don't forget, Isles Buzz is recording a live podcast from the Offsite Tavern starting at 5:30. Dan Saracini of Islanders Anxiety and Lighthouse Hockey will be there. I'll be there. And, of course, Noel and Dan, the hosts of the Isles Buzz podcast. Hope to see you guys out in the city. And then the Islanders return home Monday night to take on the Colorado Avalanche. We'll talk to you in 2020, Islanders Country. Good night.